This podcast is all about small business in St. Petersburg, Florida, how the business owners got started, how they built their business, and how they serve our community. I'm Brett Bittner, and I'm the host of Hustleberg, and I started Beyond Your Side Hustle, a marketing firm where we help budding entrepreneurs go beyond their side hustles and ditch their 9-to-5s. As the founder of a small business here in St. Pete myself, I love meeting and talking with fellow small business owners. Lucky for you, I also like to record those conversations for you to listen to. If you find anything of value in this episode, I encourage you to subscribe to the podcast, because there are probably more nuggets in other episodes, both past and upcoming. It would also be great if you rate and review the episode to let us know what you got out of the conversation. If you have a question about marketing, building your brand, or operating your small business that you'd like to have answered on a Q&A episode, please visit beyondyoursidehustle.com/podcastquestion to submit it.
For this Q&A episode, I have a real treat for you guys. We're going to be talking about the journey of going beyond a side hustle to making it a full-fledged business. And it's not just going to be me that you're hearing from today. We're actually going to be talking with Tony Johnson from Ignite Your Service. Tony Johnson is an award-winning keynote speaker and a customer experience strategist. He's the founder of Ignite Your Service Training and Consulting. He, like me, has a background in a lot of different areas, but specifically in hospitality and frontline leadership. He currently lives here in Florida with his wife, Melissa. Tony, like me, you have a diverse career background across several industries, with time spent serving retail, hospitality, and entertainment communities as an employee. What was the catalyst that you had to start your side hustle that eventually became your career?
Well, Brett, it's great to be here today, and I'm so happy that you asked that question as a kickoff, because I think the catalyst for me was so much what I think it is for many entrepreneurs, and that is, you know, giving away everything you've got to a company and losing, possession's the wrong word, but losing touch with everything you're creating. And so for me, it really was about having this opportunity to scale what I was doing and what I was working on past the organization I was working for at the moment out into the wider universe. And when it finally hit me like a thunderbolt that I really wanted to do this, I was working as a customer experience officer for a large company. And I thought, you know, I would love to take my passion for growing business, for leading teams, for teaching, and for coaching, and offer it out into so many of the small and medium-sized businesses that maybe don't have those kind of platforms to fall back on. Because you know, everyone loves to poke fun at the big companies, but the one thing they all have is systems and processes, and it makes them very successful. And so that was something, having a lot of family members who run small and medium-sized businesses, that chance to give back, that chance to help them get that leg up on the competition, simply because they could then have a customer experience platform that they could use. And every really great company has the tenets and pieces of really great customer experience. And that was what I wanted to make sure I had the chance to share, you know, whether it was an off-the-shelf program or whether it was something that was developed in a custom way for that organization, to be able to look and say, you know what, we have a customer experience strategy. And that was the catalyst for me, was to give those organizations that next push they needed to grow.
Now, you didn't make the leap straight from being employed as that customer experience officer to being a business owner. You know, you took the side hustle and the transition. Dave Ramsey describes that as moving the boat closer to the dock before you take that leap. What was that transition like as you really got closer, as you went from side hustle to, okay, this is really what I'm doing. Okay, this is all that I'm doing. Tell the Hustleberg community what that was like for you, because there are a lot of folks that are looking to have some inspiration when they're still drudging through that 9-to-5 and they're building that side hustle.
Well, and that's, I think, the biggest thing everyone needs to sort of look at is, if you're making a decent wage or a decent salary of what you're doing, it's easy to get addicted to the paycheck. We've all been there. It happens to everybody. And so you have to ask yourself then at that point, what do you need to, you know, to survive, to live on, to thrive, to live a life you're going to be happy with, and then start to work toward that. You know, it doesn't happen overnight, especially if you're working in, you know, consulting or keynote speaking or really even selling widgets. You're probably not going to step out on the ledge and be making exactly perhaps what you were in your day job. But understanding the fact that you can start to build that cumulative effect, you can start to save up, you can start to minimize your lifestyle for a minute if you need to, but you can also start to grow your business and making sure that you're getting to a point where, gosh, you know what, I'm at my ideal level of revenue. Now I can take that step. And that's the beauty of having a day job while you're working on your side hustle. So long as you get good at balancing the two, and that's really important that you do that, you can then scale up. And then once I got to a point where I said, you know what, this is the amount of revenue, these are the amount of clients, this is the amount of work that is ideal for me right now, it was the perfect time to make that leap. But you don't have to worry about it being a, you know, a hockey stick approach. You can take a much more scalable and sustainable approach and build the kind of clients and customers that you really want to work for and really be passionate about. Because again, you've got your day job to fall back on, and that's fueling your revenue while your side hustle is fueling your dream.
Now, with your books, your speaking, and your training, it's clear that you are driven to ignite customer service for your clients and for the community that you serve. Why are you so driven to ignite that customer service for them?
Well, you know, early on, I think we've all had setbacks in our careers. And one of the things that got me was I remember losing a client, you know, early on in my career. And I remember thinking, you know what, I don't want to feel like this anymore. It was one of those times I remember getting called in when I was working a 9-to-5 to be a part of that turnaround adventure. And it didn't work out. And it was heartbreaking. It was crushing. And the one thing I remember is when the clients looked at us and said, you know what, it was customer service that you blew and you never made up for it. And I thought, you know what, we're not going to do that again. And boy, I'll tell you, I thought we put a lot of good work in over the course of the couple of years we were really trying to save this business. It just didn't work out. And you know, we had thrown ourselves into learning all the core fundamentals of great customer experience. And so I continued down that path to try to make sure that I learned as much as I could, that I got all the experiences that I could, that I connected with some great people to learn more about driving customer experience. And that was what really prompted me, was that feeling of never wanting to not deliver for a customer again. And so all the things that I did over the next decade to drive great experience in my day job, in my hospitality and retail background, was really what fueled all the tenets of Ignite Your Service. All the things that I made work over the next decade, the accounts that we never lost again, the sales growth that we saw, the add-on sales, the customer loyalty, all the things that I knew actually worked are now what fuel this large process that I'm so crazy to share with organizations all over the world. Because again, I know it works. And that's what really drives me, is not just sharing something that's good in theory, but that something that actually worked over the course of a career that I've managed to sort of distill down and pull out all the mistakes that I made over the years and give the very best to the organizations I work with.
Now, your business, Ignite Your Service, has several facets. You've written books, you do a lot of public speaking, you do training and consulting. What parts of all of that did you start with as you kind of began the side hustle? And then, you know, how did it all come together when you brought it all together and you were able to really jump in with both feet after you've left the day job?
So the stuff that was easiest to really get started were the books. So I started with writing a few books. Of course, I put the website up, and really the books, I think, were driven initially by a lot of my articles that I wrote, both on LinkedIn and on the blog. And that was sort of the fuel that got me comfortable thinking about what the audience was looking for, what people responded to, what they wanted more of, what I got the best feedback upon. And that was what fueled me into the books. And then from there, it was easy to start building online programs that people would be able to download and use and make that relevant, because neither one of those were time bound. You know, I could really focus on doing my job well, and then you know, market these other pieces, make sure that I had the next book ready to go, that I was marketing it through Amazon and through Books a Million and places like that. And the online programs were easy enough to film and set up and sell. And I got a lot of experience working on my YouTube channel before I jumped into creating programs. Because for me, it's all about thinking about what skill do I need to build before I go on and do the next thing? So writing the blog fueled my book, and doing the YouTube channel ended up, you know, fueling my ability to do online content and training platforms. And then the third piece was around speaking engagements. So especially when you're starting out as a speaker, you take whatever you can get. It's a lot of free stuff, and it's a lot of maybe not the plum time. So it's, you know, going in and speaking to the local bank on a Saturday morning, or speaking to the, you know, the local chamber of commerce on a Friday night. The times work out because you might not necessarily be working your day job at that point. And so those were the things I found that were easy to work on in off hours. And so that's where I started. And then as time went along and I had more flexibility in my career, it was easier to massage both of those things together to make it work. But those were the three pieces that I really did start with.
So were you purposeful in starting small with the books and then first with the blog and then the online content, then the books? Was it purposeful that it was small, or was it just kind of, that was all that your bandwidth allowed?
A little of both. So for example, the articles were really just me wanting to get started in blogging, and I wanted to start getting my message out. I wanted to share what I had to say. And by the way, spoiler alert, it's really easy as you get started to multi-purpose content if you're mindful about that. And that's the one lesson I wish I would have learned sooner, was if you write a really great blog post, well, that becomes maybe three or four memes, that becomes maybe two videos, and could indeed be half a podcast. So all of those things can fuel each other, because typically if you're content generating for the internet, chances are everybody's not reading everything. As much as you want to believe that you're that in demand, unless you're a huge influencer, you probably are having folks that are digesting certain portions of your content. So odds are the person who watched your YouTube video probably is not going to listen to your podcast. So it's good, because you can actually repurpose content. Now, if you become a big old rock star, maybe you got to be a little more careful with that, because people may be consuming everything you have to offer. But for me, it made sense to do that. And then after I wrote a few blogs for a few years, people came up and said, you know, you should write a book. And I thought, well, I always wanted to write a book, and I was a journalism major in college. So that was the next evolution of that. Now, the YouTube channel to online content, that was me just getting lucky there, I'll be honest. After I was doing it for a while, I started looking at the content I was generating, and I thought, boy, if I put these together in a more mindful way with a workbook, fleshed them out a little bit, gave a little more content, you know, maybe went to 10-minute videos for each segment, I could turn this into an online program. So that was sort of a lightning bolt moment. As I was looking at my YouTube channel, organizing my videos one day, it hit me that I might have all the makings there for that. So that was exactly how I did it. I fleshed out some of my best content from YouTube, refilmed it, because I'd like to think I've become a little more polished over the years, and then taken that content and turned it into an online program that people could actually, you know, take over time on their own time and have a really good workbook and set of tools to go along with it to drive really high value out of the content.
Well, I think it's awesome that you talk about content creation. We had a Q&A episode about content creation a couple weeks ago. I don't remember exactly how far back it was. And that was one of the main focuses, was talking about repurposing, having pillar content that you can take things from and reuse and repurpose and repackage, so you're not having to do all of that heavy lifting for everything that you do. You know, have something like a podcast where you can take what you've noted or scripted out for yourself and make it the blog posts, and, you know, turn that into some quote tweets and the like. And I love that, to hear that that's something that you had. Unfortunately, Hustleberg wasn't around back then to kind of give you that push or that spark to help with that. And that's a shame, but I love to hear that you're talking about content creation in that way. So was there a moment when you knew that you were going to be able to fully engage with your business and truly go beyond your side hustle to make Ignite Your Service what you do? Was it like a switch? Or was it, you know, just turning up the dimmer? Was it an off on, or, you know, just kind of very transitional.
Yeah, for me, I never necessarily had one of those, you know, big old Steve Jobs moments where it totally just came to fruition, you know, with a thundercloud and music and the, you know, the clouds part. And I never had that, right? So I guess my life's not so dramatic. I didn't live in an Aaron Sorkin drama. But what I did have was that ramp up that I talked about earlier. So again, it wasn't the hockey stick approach. It was the gradual, slow generation of content, of revenue, of gravitas in the area. And all of a sudden, things just started to click slowly over time. And it was, you know, for someone like me who really makes his living off content creation and intellectual property, it becomes when you start getting called into all the articles and people want to have you on their podcasts and people want to quote you when they're writing a journal entry. And when I was getting companies reaching out that, you know, that do customer experience to get my take on things, I started to think, you know what? I'm finally starting to make some progress with my messaging, because my messaging is a little bit different. You know, there's scholarly work on customer experience all over the place that I highly value and I think is fantastic. But I also like to bring a little bit of that sort of guerrilla marketing approach where I've done this. I've been in the trenches. I know what works and what doesn't. I have, you know, if you've ever had a customer scream at you, right? If you've never had people duck out of a restaurant without paying, if you've never had a client, you know, yell at you and fire you on the spot, you may not quite be able to understand how to really drive great customer experiences. And that, I think, is what I try to bring to all the clients I work with, is this sense of reality. Yes, we're going to talk about the what, we're going to talk about the why, but there is going to be a whole lot of how inside of that. And that's where a lot of folks, I don't think, deliver enough for their clients, because theory is great, but how do you get that to the very frontline employee that's the face of your organization? And when I started having people asking me those kind of questions, I knew that my messaging, which is, again, a little different, a little grittier, a little more grassroots and based in real life operations, I knew that message was getting out there and that people thought it had value. And that's when I knew.
So a lot of what you do with Ignite Your Service centers around the culture of a company, the employee experience, and delighting customers as a result of having a great environment. How much of that did you build into your own business of what you teach?
Yeah, you know, and I don't have a large employee base, but I work with a lot of contractors to help me put together content and those kind of things. I believe in treating people well. And I firmly believe that every organization, if you're listening out there, your customer experience will be driven by your employee experience. So please take good care of your people. And I don't care if they're 1099 contractors. I don't care if they're someone you hired through Canva or Upwork. Take really good care of them. Be polite to them. Be nice to them. They will give you better work. But I also pride myself not just on, you know, in my opinion, being a really great storyteller and someone that I think can bring impactful messages to your organization, either from the stage or in a training room or, you know, divining strategy. But I like to be on time with things. I like to give a little more than you asked for. I like to make sure that if you call me at, you know, 7, 8, 9 o'clock at night or on a Saturday afternoon, I'm answering the phone. These are all the things that I insisted upon when I was working in customer facing organizations. And I believe I still am to this day. So everything I talk about, it sort of rings hollow if you don't live it and you don't believe it. And so primarily, I firmly believe in being kind to people, giving them more than they asked for. And if you call me, I am going to be really honest with you about what we can deliver and what it's going to take and how long it's going to take. Because, you know, people that overpromise and underdeliver, they've made me crazy my whole working life. And so all of those things that I saw work, you know, when I was in hospitality and retail and those, I believe are still so very important to what I do now. Because if you're going to hire someone to help you with your customer experience, and they don't answer the phone or return your emails promptly or treat you with respect or say thank you for your business or follow up, then is that messaging they're giving you really worth anything? And so if nothing else, I try to live what I talk.
I love that. You know, there are so many that can talk, but you don't see as many walking the walk that they talk about. So in your wildest dreams, where are you looking to take Ignite Your Service, and what is it going to take to get you there?
Well, you know, it's an interesting question. My dreams change pretty rapidly, but my goal is to scale this into a larger organization doing the same thing. So helping people, you know, define their customer strategy with the core tenets of our customer journey mapping. That's a proprietary process for us, you know, our steps of service and our service recovery. So all of the pieces we have in our bag of tricks in our platform and the Ignite Your Service platform, continuing to scale that. And I think probably if I were going to look at a model, if you're familiar with John Maxwell, you know, John went from being the leadership guru writing a million books to that point where he couldn't get to all the organizations that needed him and wanted him to speak. So now he has sort of this franchise model where he has these John Maxwell certified trainers. If I were going to say what my wildest dream is, it would be to have this stable of Ignite Your Service certified trainers that could help get the message out further, farther, deeper, and faster, not just with the training, but with the coaching and the follow-up to help small, medium, large businesses, huge multinational organizations succeed and thrive, because now I've expanded my bandwidth and grown my stable of leaders who can help get this messaging out.
Now, for those who are listening who may be a few steps behind you in the process, maybe they still have one foot in their day job and one foot in their side hustle, what would you say to them based on what you've experienced thus far in your journey?
You know, the one thing that I always like to challenge people with, especially if they're taking the path I did, is to be careful with their day job. So, and what I mean by that is, do a really good job with your day job. Somebody is still paying you to do that job. And so understand that you still need to bring 100% to that. Now, that's going to mean some really heavy lifting and hard work on your part. It really is. You're going to have to work nights and work weekends and get up in the morning. And at times when you're exhausted from having put in 40, 50, 60, 70 hours in your day job, still going into wherever it is you're going to work on your side hustle and putting that time in. It means being honest with your family about the time commitment that it's going to take and the fact that you're going to be giving a little more of yourself to this for a minute. Now, I think if you bring them in, you make sure they understand what you're doing. They can help you see the vision. They might even be able to help you out. In fact, my wife was a huge help in doing a lot of different things with me as I was, you know, converting my side hustle to my main hustle. She was great at helping me proofread articles, for example, and giving me feedback on content and telling me when I look stupid in a picture. That's her superpower, by the way. But my point being is you've got to be great at your job, because you don't want to do anything halfway, because A, someone's paying you for that job, but also you may find references. You may find people that want to book you someday because people are moving and leaving organizations all the time. Do you want to do a bad job in front of an executive that moves on to another organization but chooses not to hire you because they saw you were doing a halfway job when they knew you in your day job? I'd much rather them say, boy, that Bob, that Francine, he or she was always in it to win it every single day. I know whatever they are doing now has to be great because I know their pedigree. So you want that word of mouth. And then I think the final piece is just go slow if you can, because you don't want to have to jump until you know you're there. You know, if you can do a great job at your day job and you can scale up your side hustle in a way that's comfortable for you and your family, and so you know you're doing everything the right way, it's just going to save you headaches down the road. Now, at some point, though, you have to look at yourself in the mirror and say, okay, I'm ready. I'm going to cut the cord. I'm going to jump. And that's something you have to make a commitment to do at some point. Otherwise, you've really just got a nice hobby. And that's fine if you want whatever it is you're doing to be your hobby. Everybody needs a hobby, but that doesn't mean it's a company or a career.
Now, before we wrap up, what would you tell the Hustleberg community is your one thing about being an entrepreneur?
The one thing about being an entrepreneur, and I don't know if it was Mark Cuban or Lori Grenier I heard say this on Shark Tank, but they said that, you know, the one thing about an entrepreneur is they're the only folks who'll work 100 hours a week to avoid working 40 hours a week. And so I always thought that was kind of telling, because it does take a lot of work to get to the point where you can step off that ledge and launch your business. But if you've done all your homework and you know you've got something that works and you know you believe in it, then believe in it 100% and go get it. Because believing in something 50%, 40%, or 30% is not really a recipe for success.
Now, Tony, where can people find out more about Ignite Your Service?
Well, I would love it if folks would visit igniteyourservice.com. And I will tell you, I actually have a free masterclass on there on employee journey. You don't have to put in so much as an email address to get it. You can go to igniteyourservice.com/masterclass and it'll come right up and you can actually tune right in. I've actually got some free tools I'm giving away right there. But again, just visit the website, kick the tires. And there's about a million ways to contact me on there. You can find me also on Twitter at Service Recipe, and you can find me on Instagram at Recipe for Service. So please just dial me up on social, visit the website. And I'm hoping that your listeners will reach out and share their story, because I love nothing more than hearing about how folks are getting started and what they need to take their next step.
Tony, thank you so much for joining me today and sharing your story as you built a side hustle and then went beyond it. That's an awesome thing for a lot of the folks in the Hustleberg community to hear.
Well, it was so great to be here, and thank you very much for having me on the show today.
You did it. You've just listened to Hustleberg. To thank you for listening, we're helping you reach ideal engagement on any social media platform in a 3-week training available at beyondyoursidehustle.com/3weeks. See how you can change your feed to serve you, start engaging on social the right way, and create a community around you and your business. Speaking of businesses, if you're a small business owner in St. Pete and you'd like to be a guest on an episode of the podcast, let us know at beyondyoursidehustle.com/podcast guest. If you got something of value from this podcast, please take a moment to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast player. This is something small that you can do to help us shine the spotlight on all the great businesses St. Pete has to offer. The music in this episode is Defining Your Dreams by my friend Rhymer Educator. On May 28th, he released a mixtape entitled Quentin Quarantino about loneliness during the COVID-19 pandemic, and I encourage you to check it out on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you listen to great music. Thanks so much for listening, and we look forward to sharing with you how we do business in the Berg.